So good morning everybody, I'm Elise Pelzer from MINOA and I'm going to present some experimental results on grass legume intercrops to produce biomass for bioenergy. So in Europe, a new directive was set up in 2009, targeting for 2020 a 20% reduction of greenhouse gases emissions compared to 1990. It also imposes that 20% of the total energy consumption should come from renewable sources, and particularly for fuel transport, 10% should come from renewable sources, and for instance, with the development of second generation biofuel. And finally, the 20% of the primary energy consumption should be reduced by 20% compared to 2008. So in that context, energy crop can be a source of renewable energy and contribute to the reduction of greenhouse gases emissions. And annual or multi-annual energy crops are interesting because they present high yields and they allow a combination of energy, food and feed production in the cropping systems compared to contrary to perennial crops, for instance, miscanthus or switchgrass. But a major drawback has been raised. They have a high need for nitrogen fertilizer, leading to negative environmental impacts such as high-end losses and high energy costs. So legumes that are able to fix nitrogen have a role to play to reduce the nitrogen fertilization of energy crops. And particularly, grass legume intercrop could be interesting. So intercrop is defined as the cultivation of two or more species in the same area and for a significant time. And they have been used in France and in Europe and I guess in the world for various use. For instance, for Europe, peewit for grain production, triticale vetch pea oat for forage production, and they could be used for bioenergy production, for instance, here, triticale vetch. So due to its root system, the cereal is more competitive for the mineral nitrogen in the soil, forcing the legume to fix more nitrogen than when it is grown alone in the field. So this optimal use of both mineral and atmospheric nitrogen lead to a reduction of mineral fertilizer, especially compared to soil grass, while the yields are usually maintained. So this reduction of mineral fertilizer lead to a reduction of N2O emission during the application of mineral fertilizer and also indirect CO2 emission for the synthesis of mineral fertilizer. And it also leads to a reduction of energetic costs. And the efficient use of mineral nitrogen also leads to a decrease in nitrate leaching risk compared to soil legume. So we hypothesize that due to their advantages, grass legume intercrops are good candidates as multi-annual energy crops. And the aim of our study was to assess the performances of various grass legume intercrops for bioenergy production. We set up an experiment in 2010 in Versailles, so close to Paris in France. And we compared different species of energy crops, including annual winter crops, annual spring crops, and multi-annual crops. Here I will only present the results on annual winter crops, meaning triticale for cereals and 4-HP, vetch, and red clover for intercrops. We had also soil crops experiences in the experiment, so soil legumes and soil triticale, and also the intercrop treatments, grass legume intercrop treatments, with the species sown at half density in intercrops compared to soil crops. We tested all the non-fertilized treatment, and for soil cereal and intercrops, we also had fertilized treatment with 100 kg per hectare of nitrogen applied on soil triticale and 50 kg per hectare applied on intercrops. These 11 treatments were randomized within three blocks, and each plot was around 100 square meters. We assessed various performances, including agronomic, environmental, energetic, and economic performances. We measured biomass production and quality, pests and lodging on crops. N2O emissions with static chambers, as here in the pictures, and residual soil and after harvest. We also calculated energetic costs, accounting for machinery, mineral nitrogen fertilizer manufacturing, and pesticide manufacturing. And we calculated also economic costs with seeds costs, nitrogen fertilization costs, and pesticides. So here I will only present the results that are underlined. A first result here, so on the left we have the commercial yield, so meaning the yield that is harvested as here with a silage mower, so the yield at the field scale, and also we measured a plot yield on the small areas here. Here the yield is expressed as a ton of dry matter per hectare, and I represent the 95% confidence interval. So as you can see, as you can see here and here, generally intercrops even without nitrogen show the highest yield. The fertilized cereal here and here also show high yield, but with 2 times more nitrogen fertilization than fertilized intercrop. The nitrogen fertilization of intercrops does not significantly increase the yield of intercrops, but it increases here the proportion of cereal in the intercrop. And we got similar results here. It was for 2013, but we got similar results for other years and other legume species. Here we calculated the energetic cost to produce 1 ton of biomass with the ratio between energetic cost and commercial yields. So it is expressed in megajoule per ton of dry matter. And here I represent it for the 3 years. So as you can see here, intercrops show the lowest cost to produce 1 ton of biomass. The fertilized cereal shows the highest cost due to high end fertilization. And depending on the year, the soil legume or unfertilized triticale show high cost to produce 1 ton of biomass. And it's mostly due to the fact that the yields are really low. And we got similar results for other legume species. Similarly, we calculated the cost, the economic cost to produce 1 ton of biomass with the ratio between production cost in euro and commercial yields. And here you can see that intercrops show similar or lower cost to produce 1 ton of biomass than soil cereal. And again, depending on the year, the soil legumes sometimes show really high cost due to low yields. And we got similar results for vetch, here it was for pea. But for clover, the costs were higher because of the higher cost of seeds. Concerning the environmental impact, here is the result for the measurement of N2O emission with static chambers, as in these pictures. On unfertilized triticale in blue, unfertilized pea, of course, in red, and unfertilized triticale pea. So it's the result for 2013. We had the same for 2012. We observed no significant difference between treatments, meaning that unfertilized legume, soil legume, or unfertilized intercrop did not emit more than unfertilized grass. And finally, here we measured also the residual soil nitrogen after harvest, here for 2012. We measured it in the 91st centimeter soil layer, and it is expressed in kilogram of mineral nitrogen per hectare. As you can see, with intercrops, we reduce this residual soil N after harvest compared to soil legumes. And the residual soil N after harvest is similar to triticale. We did not observe really an effect of nitrogen fertilization because the level of our fertilization is quite low, 100 kilograms for soil triticale and 50 kilograms for intercrops. And we got similar results here, so it was for pea and clover, but we got similar results for vetch. So So to conclude, intercrops even without mineral nitrogen fertilizer present higher yields and lower environmental impacts compared to soil crops. The result also shows that intercrops allow higher economic and energetic efficiency compared to soil crops. And indirect and direct CO2 emissions, as well as biomass quality and suitability for transformation process such as second generation biofuel or biogas, are still being analyzed, but we have for the quality of biomass, we have interesting results. While the quality of the biomass of the intercrop is more adapted to transformation process than the soil legume, and more or less equivalent to the cereal. So globally, this study tends to confirm that the interest of grass legume intercrops as feedstock for bioenergy production. And I thank you for your attention.
Do you have time for questions?
Yeah.
Did you look at the basal nitrogen before you planted these legumes and cereal? Like, did the soil have any nitrogen in it, or how much nitrogen did the soil have?
Well, we measure the nitrogen at the end of winter to beginning of growing of the, well. We saw the species in fall, and we measure the nitrogen in the soil in the beginning of the spring, and we adapt the amount of nitrogen according to this mineral soil nitrogen. We had quite low mineral nitrogen in the soil, around if I remember well, around 40-50 kilograms per hectare.
You may have shown it, I couldn't see as well.
No, sorry.
What was the effect on the composition as a whole in terms of the intercrop versus, say,
you mean
for nitrogen or maybe even for dry matter composition?
Yeah, we did some measurement of cellulose, hemicellulose, lignin, and sulfur content, also ash, and as I said, we were afraid of having problems because of the presence of the legume, and generally the quality is really closer to the quality of the soil cereal than to the quality of the soil legume. So should not be a problem to do transformations such as second generation biofuel.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.